And he's there for me, my friend, all the way. He was there for me. And proof of that is the way he used this last song that I'm going to listen to for you to listen to as I record it, that he used. And it was a song, again, by Michael W. Smith, entitled, I Will Be Here For You. Now, again, imagine. I'm fine to the point where I'm trying to change with all my heart, and I just can't seem to do it. And I'm to the point of just giving up. It's when you get to the point where you're so sick of sin, and you're about ready to throw in the towel. That's when Jesus Christ, oftentimes, my friend, shows up according to his will and his purpose. And so it was. I was listening again after another day at school. Again, despised, rejected by teachers and peers, feeling nobody understands me, not knowing all along that my Creator understood me just fine. And he came down as Emmanuel, God with us, so he could be personal to me. And it's my prayer that he would make himself personal to you, even as he made himself personal to me. Yet again, through another one of Michael W. Smith's songs, I will be here for you. Somewhere in the night, he says, I'll shine a light for you. And Jesus himself, all along from the foundation of the world, has been the light of the world, my friend. That light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Because there is that false light whereby Satan himself transforms himself as an angel of light. But Jesus is that true light. If any man believe on him, he shall not abide in darkness. Oh, and by the way, Mr. talked about in that one song, Broken Wings. He said, when we hear the voices sing, the book of love will open up and let us in. There was a book of love that my name needed to be written in all along. And my name was written in it from the foundation of the world. And it is called the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And it is written, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It was written in Revelation 20. Oh, there was some singing that needed to go on, my friend. God, Lord Jesus Christ, spoke of that singing like this. He said, in the presence of the angels of God, there is rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 righteous men who need not repentance. And again, there is none righteous, no, not one, my friend. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But here is the song whereby the Lord, God Almighty, by way of his Spirit, by way of his Son, as my Father in heaven made himself real to me yet again, it is Michael W. Smith, I Will Be Here For You. Again, seeking to change, trying to change with all my heart, realizing I can't do it, about ready to give up. And all along, my Lord and Savior was there. Here it is, Michael W. Smith, I Will Be Here For You. Told this video is currently unavailable, so we're gonna have to just avoid that right there at this point. I don't know what happened there, but anyways, we'll just pause it there for that. You got enough of the song right there to get the point. But anyways, he went on to say, in this world of strangers, a cold and cold and friendly faces. In this world of strangers, of cold and friendly faces, someone you can trust, someone you can trust. Then he goes on again, of course, in the chorus, I will be here for you somewhere in the night. Somewhere in the night, I'll shine a light for you. Somewhere in the night, I'll be standing by. And then that was pretty much the bulk of it. So you heard as much as you needed to hear right there to get the gist of it. But again, I repeat, friend, sinful sex, sexual perversion, fornication between a man or a woman, be it adultery between a man and a woman, be it homosexuality, be it man with man, be it woman with woman. It is selfish. Okay? You might as well just look at whoever you're engaging it with and say, I don't care if you get a sexually transmitted disease. I don't care if you get AIDS. Hey, the National Man Love Boy Association, NAMBLA as they call them, they just are a bunch of perverted men who have a political agenda along with the higher up so-called homosexual crowd. And they don't care one bit about you. You hear me? They don't care one bit about you. They just got a political agenda, and you're nothing but an instrument whereby they accomplish their agenda. Same way with Planned Parenthood. Same way with Planned Parenthood. Again, they're a bunch of bloodsuckers, and they don't care one bit about you, woman. Don't be deceived, and they certainly don't care about that baby that was either in your womb, if you've already gone there and have already had an abortion, or the baby that's going to be in your womb. It's not just a fetus. It's a human being. If you'd be honest with yourself, if you're a woman, you've ever been pregnant for any amount of time, you could feel that, what they just call a fetus, kicking and moving in your womb. It's like this. You had enough time to have the sex. You had enough time to fornicate. You had enough time to sin against your creator, and sin against the body of whoever you engaged in your sex with. And they had the time to sin against their creator also, that young man, and sin against your body in the process. But you didn't have time to take care of the child, and did you now? You ought to repent. Shame on you. And again, those of you that are engaging in homosexuality, be it man, woman with woman, why don't you just look at them next time and tell them you don't care if they get AIDS. It's selfish. It's sin against your creator, and it's sin against their body. You ought to repent. And even if you've never engaged in any of those things, hey, God makes it clear, my friend. In March of 1995, let's fast forward. Now that we've officially listened to all the music that needs to be listened to. In March of 1995, I was with my mom and dad, and at the Isaac Walton League outdoor show. The league that my mom and dad worked at and served at as caretakers had an outdoor show at that time every year. We were in there one year. And I just kind of wanted to break away from my mom and dad, just kind of do my own thing. And they gave me permission to do it. And while I'm walking, doing my own thing, this elderly gentleman reaches out to hand me something. And here it's what's called a gospel tract. This elderly gentleman asked me if I would like to know for sure that I'm right with God and I'm going to heaven when I die. I told him, I said, sure, who wouldn't? He said, you wait till Richard gets back. Richard, Dick Hastings, he had just gone. This other elderly gentleman had just gone to get some refreshments or had to go use the restroom, one of the two. But then he came back, and this man, Richard Dick Hastings, sat down with me and opened up his King James Bible. And he went straight from the beginning, where Lucifer, then known as Lucifer, later known as Satan the devil, had rebelled when he was up in heaven against God and got those angels together, one third of those angels, to rebel against their creator. And how they were cast out, and how the earth was without form and void, and how God created Adam and Eve, and how through the fruit of the tree of knowledge, the forbidden fruit, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that serpent, the devil, tempted our parents after the flesh, Adam and Eve, to partake. And hence it is written in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore is by one man, speaking of Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It is also written, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And so it is also written, for as in Adam, all die. And God said, in the day you partake of the forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. And you know what? God meant what he said. That's why this world is in the mess that it's in today and that it's been in ever since. But as a result of the fall through Adam, you and I were conceived in sin. We were shapen in iniquity, according to the scriptures. Hence, we are born in sin, and we are by nature, sinners by birth, and sinners by choice. And then from there, Richard actually took me to the Ten Commandments. Oh, them Ten Commandments. By the time he was done taking me through these, I knew I was in trouble with my Creator. And by the time I get done taking you through these, if you, by the grace of God, are still listening, you're going to know, if you don't already know, you will know that you're in trouble with your Creator. It is written, Exodus 20, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now, when God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, it's like this. Your God is simply who or what you look to for peace and comfort in this life, but not only what you look to for peace and comfort in this life, but what you look to for peace and comfort, whom or what you look to for peace or comfort in the life to come. Hey, if you're looking to anybody or anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the God of Moses, who spoke from heaven here in Exodus, if you're looking to anybody but him, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ made that clear. He is the way to God. He's the only way to God. The Apostle Peter in the book of Acts put it this way. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. If you're looking to anybody or anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven and earth, as your God to give you peace and comfort in this life and the life which is to come, you have another God, whatever or whoever that is. And according to Revelation 21:8, you merit eternity in a lake of fire, for all idolaters, it is written, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And that's what that makes you. If you have any other God than the Lord Jesus Christ, it makes you what God calls an idolater. When he says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. You may not necessarily be bowing down to statues of Mary, to statues of Buddha, to even statues of Jesus. You ought not bow down to statues of Jesus either. Because Jesus himself said, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And bowing down to statues that you can see, that's not worshiping God in spirit and truth. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't bow down to that which we can see ultimately, my friend. We bow down to the invisible image of the invisible God. But it's like this. You may not be bowing down to statues of Mary, Buddha, Jesus, or any of the gods of the Hindu world, be it Krishna or any other so-called god, or any other, what you would define as religious icon or leader. But it's like this, you do. How many of you bow down to the image that you see when you look in the mirror every day? It's called humanism. It's called being a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God. It's called seeking to please yourself more than your Creator, or seeking to please other humans more than your Creator. And again, that is in and of itself also a form of idolatry. And I'm going to skip down here a little bit. When God says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Idolatry. Covetousness itself in the scriptures is defined as idolatry before God. Continuing on. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. To take the name of the Lord in vain, if you ever use the name of Jesus Christ as a curse word, or use it loosely when you're joking around with your friends, you say God and the word damn simultaneously, which by the way, even you who call yourself atheist, even you have a way of saying that sometimes. You know why? Because according to the book of Romans, God has put the knowledge of himself within you, and you cannot escape it. And that's one of the ways it comes out of even you who call yourselves atheists. But again, you use the name of Jesus Christ flippantly as a curse word, loosely. When you're joking around with your friends, you say God and the word damn simultaneously. Those are all ways that you take the name of the Lord God in vain. And that makes you a blasphemer in the sight of God. And by the way, according to the book of James, whosoever should keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So, continuing on. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Lesson is simple. Make time for God. How many of you have failed to make time for God, even one day out of the week? And yet the fact is, he's worthy of every day of the week. He's worthy to be Lord of your life. He's worthy to call the shots as God of heaven and earth. And yet how many of you have failed to even make time for one day out of the week? Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Again, how many times have your mom and your dad, that is if you've had the blessing of having a mom and a dad, if you haven't, I feel for you. But for how many times, those of you who had the blessing of having a father and a mother, how many times have you disobeyed them and did not what they told you to do when it was in your best interest to do it? And you reaped the consequences. You suffered for it. Hey, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I tell you, there's a lot of young ones dying young today because they don't honor their father and their mother. And God said, you do it, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. Thou shalt not kill. We're told, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. According to God, just ungodly hatred in your heart for your neighbor makes you a murderer in your heart, makes you just as guilty of murder in your heart as Charles Manson or any other mass murderer out there. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Oh my, when he shared that one with Richard, when Dick shared that one with me, oh, my mind went back to when I was lusting and drooling over them young pretty ladies in them yearbooks of mine. Of course, thou shalt not steal. Oh, when he went over that one, boy, did my mind ever go back to when I stole some of my brother's allowance money, however little the amount was. Still, it's still stealing. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Oh, talk about lying. Every time anyone, including yourself, tries to say that somebody was born a homosexual, somebody was born a lesbian, that is a lie that is bearing false witness, my friend. And all liars shall their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Thou shalt not covet. Again, we've already touched on that. And how all covetousness is as idolatry. And verse 18 says, after God gave these commands, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. When the people saw it, they were moved and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. Moses said unto the people, fear not. And Moses again said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. God just had me go through these Ten Commandments with you, that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not, and that you would see your need for the Savior himself, because you ultimately cannot keep the law. And if you're not going to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God demands perfection, and you've already failed. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need the Savior, my friend. And that's why I turn and I share with you what Richard Dick Hastings shared with me. He showed me how out of Isaiah 53, oh, how this touched my heart, feeling so despised and rejected as I did. He shared with me how it is written of Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, and the prophet Isaiah, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Oh, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I proceeded to tell Dick, feeling ever so sorry, as I thought of this Jesus being despised and rejected for me. All I thought was, I know what it's like to be despised and rejected. I don't want to make this Jesus feel any more despised and rejected than he's already been. And slowly but surely, God started putting within me, he was granting me repentance, the acknowledgement of the truth. He was giving me what he calls in his word, a godly sorrow, that worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. Repentance is a holy turning away from all of your sins and a holy turning to Jesus Christ as Lord of heaven and earth, asking him to be your personal Lord and Savior. And that godly sorrow simply does not want to offend or hurt the Savior any more than he was offended and hurt by your sins upon the cross and the sins of the world. And anyways, Dick continued on, and I shared with Dick how I was water baptized. I was sprinkled in a Methodist church growing up as a little boy around 4 or 5 years of age. And Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, which says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." According to that verse, the very faith whereby I came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ was a gift from God itself, because I didn't possess the faith in and of myself, but God gave it to me. And so the very salvation whereby I was saved and have been saved and will continue to be saved is a free gift. Dick also showed me 6:23, Romans 6:23, how for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that death that is spoken of is not just a physical death, but a spiritual death that is summed up in Revelation 20, when it is written, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And Dick, through Romans, showed me Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And how Jesus arose from the third day, and how the grave could not contain him as the Redeemer and Savior of the world, especially of them that believe. And then he showed me how, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Oh, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, as it is written, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And right there and right then, Dick encouraged me to bow my head, and I bowed my head, and seeing very much my need, I cried out right there. I didn't care the fact that people were walking by one after one. I didn't care if they were to stare at me. All I knew was I needed and I wanted this Jesus, and I cried out right there to God. And even as I cried out right there, I could literally feel something rising up within me. And that something was someone. He's called the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit. He was literally manifesting his residence, Christ in me, the hope of glory, his presence in me as a temple of the Holy Ghost, according to Scripture, my very body itself being that temple. That's right, God is willing to dwell in the hearts of his creatures. Though we by nature be sinful men, he's willing to make us holy through the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all sin. And by the way, my Jewish friend, it says in Leviticus, it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. God said there in the book of Exodus, it is written, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Did you ever stop to think about how Moses told our fathers to put the blood on the doorpost there coming out of Egypt? He said, "Put it up in the upper right, in the upper left, and on the upper doorpost." Stop. Take from the upper doorpost down to the ground. Think about that blood dropping down to the ground from the upper doorpost. Go from the left doorpost to the right doorpost. Connect the dots. And you have a cross. I wonder why our rabbis never told us that much. Oh, but there is the rabbi, Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, who's willing to take up residence by way of his spirit in you, if by his grace, and that through faith in that, not of yourself, you just call upon him today. But as soon as I got done crying out, and God Almighty manifested his presence in me that day and saving me and making me a child of God. Jesus said, "You must be born again." That's what happened to me that day. I was born of the Spirit of God and by the water of God's word. That's right. And I knew right there, right then, I just said within from my heart of heart, even as God put a new heart within me, according to the prophet Ezekiel, said, "I'll put a new heart within you. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them." I didn't waste any time from the inner heart that God just put within me, crying out and saying, "Jesus, I've made a mess of things up to this point. I'm a fool if I think I'm going to do any better running the show myself from this point on. Lord Jesus, you take charge." That is the essence of a godly sorrow right there that worketh repentance into salvation, not to be repented of. You know that you're bought with a price. You know your life is not your own. You know that you found life by giving up your life and by saying, "Lord, my life is yours. Take me. Use me for what you will." My friend, that is what it's all about, my friend, letting Jesus live his life through you. Let me tell you, he can live life through you better than you can surely live it yourself. That is for sure. So confess your need of him today. Call out to him. Don't you think there's any sin that he can't cleanse you from. Don't you think you're too dirty for his blood to cleanse you and make you whiter than snow. Because it's written, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Hey, I don't care who you are. Any mortal man who's a sinner and a descendant of Adam by nature, who puts himself up next to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of his sinlessness, as God manifest in the flesh, They will find themselves, compared to Jesus, the chiefest of sinners. Some of you listening to this, let me just say before we conclude, you're self-righteous. You think you're good enough to stand before God apart from Jesus Christ and your own works. You know, one of the reasons why you're like that, because you're too busy, especially if you're a churchgoer, you're too busy comparing yourself to so-and-so in the pew. And even if you don't go to church, you're too busy comparing yourself to guys like Hitler and Mussolini. Stop comparing yourself to them. Compare yourself. Put yourself up against the sinless Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And then tell me how good you are compared to him. Jesus Christ said it this way. There is one good, and there's none good but him. That is God. Stop proclaiming your own goodness, sinner. And look up to God alone who's good and ask him to make you righteous by giving you his righteousness in and through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord today. This has been the testimony of Timothy Scott Ruver. And I will give my email address for anybody here who cares to email me as a result of this. Not that you have to, because ultimately I'm not the one you got to call on, my friend. You got to call on Jesus Christ. And as long as you call on him and you serve him all of your days down here on earth, not that I wouldn't want to get in contact with you, but ultimately whether or not you contact me on this side doesn't matter. I'll see you on the other side. You just call on him and you be faithful to serve Jesus Christ. And you be faithful to look up to God as your Father in heaven. You be faithful to rejoice in the presence of the Holy Ghost in you and receive his baptism. Hey, that's what counts, my friend. This has been the testimony of Timothy Scott Gruver. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. My email address, by the way, is benrock777@yahoo.com. That's B as in boy, I as in Israel, N as in Nathan, R as in Robert, O as in omnipotent, C as in Christ, K as in Kelly, 777@yahoo.com. Or there's my Gmail account. It's comfort4israel@gmail.com. That's comfort, C-O-M-F-O-R-T, F-O-R-I-S-R-A-E-L@gmail.com. Again, this has been the testimony of Timothy Scott Ruver. And again, may you be blessed with the salvation of our Lord.